Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here with Mike Morial. We are here at Bridgestone Arena. The first round of the 2023 NHL Draft is finished. 32 first-round picks know their NHL destination. Mike, some surprises, big jumps, some big swings by some teams here. It was, we expected it to be an interesting night, and it certainly lived up to the billing.
It did, Adam. It was an eventful first night, first round. I mean, a lot of the players that we thought would go in the first round did. Some of the spots where they went was a little bit surprising, with the exception, of course, for the top guy we all know, Connor Bedard.
Yeah, that really wasn't a surprise. The first pick with the most intrigue since the 2015 NHL draft went another Connor. Connor McDavid went number one, but we sort of knew what was going to happen, but a little after 6 p.m. local time tonight, Chicago Blackhawks general manager Kyle Davidson stepped up to the microphone on the stage here at Bridgestone Arena, and here's what happened next.
With the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
Connor Bedard, Mike, you know, it feels like it's as much of a no-brainer. We've been talking about it for a year now. I remember sitting in Montreal talking about Connor Bedard in the 2023 NHL draft. But, you know, now that it's finally happened, now that the ifs have turned to certainties, he's going to Chicago. You know, Taylor Hall is going to be there for him. They've started, you know, Nick Foligno is going to be there for him. So he's got some people around him now. But, you know, we've talked about what could happen. What do you think the projection is for Connor Bedard as an NHL rookie with the Chicago Blackhawks next season?
I think a lot of scouts would say this, Adam, and we're into the scout speak now.
Sure.
But the thing is that he's still a 17-year-old kid, and I think Kyle Davidson was actually saying that at the podium after the two picks were made by Chicago in the first round, that, you know, it's going to take some time. He needs to grow and mature with the Blackhawks and what they intend to do here. This is still a rebuilding type of situation here. But Bedard is an elite player, and you would expect him to, once he grasps maybe a month and a half of the league, maybe shorter, I don't know, maybe he starts to take off. But I want to temper expectations right now. I'll say like I would think maybe a 20, 25 goal, 60-point season, something along those lines. Maybe he reaches 30 goals is a respectable estimation of what he might do.
I think that I'm right in line with you. I think that's, as you said, let's temper the expectations. You know, Connor McDavid wasn't a 100-point scorer
right
as an 18-year-old rookie. Like, this is a guy coming into a team that is in serious need of talent infusion, and he's just the first part of it. He's the tip of that spear of what they're going to become, and you mentioned Oliver Moore, you know, that you could see they're just now putting that foundation of what could come into place. So he can't do it all himself, no matter how great a player he is and how great a player he projects to be. It's not one guy who's going to get the Blackhawks back to where they were, you know, in 2015 when they were winning their third Stanley Cup.
All right.
So he's going to need help, and you know, getting Oliver Moore is a nice part of that. Getting Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno in the present is a nice start there. But, yeah, he's going to need a lot around him.
Yeah, you look – and we, you know, we discussed this in this upcoming interview with Connor about getting Taylor Hall. What does it mean? Nick Foligno, what does it mean? And he's excited to be playing with these – I mean, let's face it. Taylor Hall, he was there when Connor McDavid was a rookie in Edmonton. He was there when Jack Hughes was a rookie with the New Jersey Devils. And he did wonders for both those players. And those players did wonders for Taylor Hall, too. So Taylor Hall is that type of player. And I'm sure, as Bedard has said when he was at the podium, you know, he'll be able to learn and ask questions and do all those things that young players do with veteran players. So it's going to be important for him to get that kind of schooling from Taylor Hall and a Nick Foligno.
And we had the chance to talk to Connor Bedard yet again on NHL Draft Class, a frequent guest, you know, very good with his time. But let's hear from Connor Bedard himself, the number one pick of the 2023 NHL Draft. We've been talking about for a year. You've probably been picturing this moment in your mind for 17 years to finally hear your name called at the Chicago Blackhawks. What did it feel like?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's hard to put into words, and you know, to be here with my family and kind of stand up, give him a hug and everything. It was incredible. You know, the history behind the organization and the fan support and, you know, everything there. It's incredible, and, you know, so excited to get to work.
Connor, so one person I know that was on your mind and you spoke to him at the podium was your grandfather, Garth. Obviously, he's not here with us, but he's here in spirit, and I'm sure he's so proud of you. What can you tell us about your grandfather and what he meant to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, me and him, we're super close, and there was my whole family, and I was someone that kind of go somewhere and make a bunch of new friends, and, you know, he loved kind of being around people and, you know, being the life of the party and everything, and, you know, obviously, it's very sad he's not able to be here, but, you know, I'm sure he's watching, and, you know, he would be super proud, so it's good to think of things like that.
You know, ever since we've been talking to you, it's always been if I get picked number one, if I get to go there. Now, if has become now. It's happened. So is it like a little bit of a relief to say, okay, it's happened. Now I can focus forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was always focused on kind of the same sort of stuff with training and everything. But now to be part of the Blackhawks and, you know, part of that organization is, you know, it's a dream come true. And, you know, like you said, there's a lot of ifs and everything, but now for it to happen and I get to, you know, go there and kind of, you know, get to work with them, it's, you know, it's incredible. It's hard to describe.
So no player in Blackhawks history has worn number 98. What's the significance of the number to you, and would it be kind of neat to be wearing the number 98 when you do join the Blackhawks?
Yeah, it's been my number since I was about 5 or 6, kind of looked at it, high number. No one really had it at the time, so... you know, it stuck with me, and you know, I don't know. Hopefully, you know, I get to wear it or whatever if I'm playing. But no, it's you know, just kind of the number I've always had.
So now the real work begins. The hype in Chicago. I'm sure you've at least seen a little bit of it. What's next for you from here when we leave Nashville?
Yeah, obviously, you had a development camp, and it was just like you said, get back to work, and you know, a big couple months here before camp for me to, you know, try to get better, and you know, obviously the mindset of trying to go to camp and make the team, and you know, it's just a big couple months.
Taylor Hall has worked with young centers, rookie centers that entered the league. Connor McDavid with Edmonton, Jack Hughes with the Devils. Now you have an opportunity to play with Taylor. What do you know about Taylor, and just the opportunity to maybe play with him on a line?
Yeah, I got to meet him once last summer, and, you know, seemed super nice. And of course, he's had a great career so far, and you know, such a good player. And for me to kind of get to learn from a guy like him, and you know, obviously bringing Foligno in as well, those are two guys that, you know, I think it's really good for me to kind of get to be a sponge around them, and, you know, try not to annoy him too much with questions, but you know, just learn from them and watch them every day.
What has this day been like for you? Everything going on here?
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. It's been, you know, it's been exciting, and but no, it's hard to kind of describe the feelings and emotions. It's just been, you know, you know, an incredible day.
Mike mentioned Taylor Hall. Have you heard from any of your soon to be future teammates in Chicago?
I haven't checked my phone, so I'm not too sure. I got to actually call Seth Jones, the PR person in with Chicago, gave me the phone there, so he said some nice words, of course, and so that was cool, and you know, to kind of. But I felt a lot of support from the rink, and for him to call me was awesome.
Very cool. Connor, it's been great following you the last 2 years. Congratulations, and welcome to Chicago.
Thank you very much.
So as much as we all thought Bedard was a lock at number one, we all thought Adam Fantilli was a lock at number two to the Anaheim Ducks. Obviously, Pat Verbeek and the scouting staff there felt a little bit differently, and it was Leo Carlson. Surprised certainly us. We both had Fantilli at number two.
We did, and... I personally, and I'm sure you feel the same way, Adam, it's like, you know, Fantilli did all he could to maybe get that number two role, but Leo Carlson did too. Leo Carlson proved himself not only in the Swedish Hockey League this season, but we saw him at, you know, at World Juniors. We saw him at the, you know, the U18s. The way he dominated play, even playing as a wing when he's a center. And I think that's the big question on whether he's going to play wing, whether he'll play center at the next level. But for him to go number two to the Anaheim Ducks, it's a great pick for the Ducks organization. They need a centerman, and everyone has said, you know, he's a big, strong, capable kid. Is, you know, watching him at the World Junior Championships, strong along the boards. He's able to get in front of the net, do the things that you're able to do to score, get those tips, those deflections, the way you need to score for a big, big-bodied guy.
He reminds me of Barkov out there, right? Yep. He just reminds me of a guy who's never going to pull you out of your seat with his skill set, but he does everything well, and he projects to be a guy. Look, you know, whether it was Fantilli or Carlson, right, they were the two next best players on the list at a position of need that Anaheim had. So whether they saw more value in Carlson or Fantilli, I don't think it's a knock on either guy. It's just a question of, you know, and there were a lot of guys like this. It's one team sees something in a guy that another team doesn't, and that's a deciding factor. And the differences between them was hair thin. So Anaheim obviously sees a little bit more in what Leo Carlson can bring to them. And look, they might not be wrong. And, you know, Anaheim and Columbus there just will happily, I'm sure, take Michigan man into the heart of Ohio State country, Adam Fantilli.
Yeah, but we did get an opportunity to talk to Leo Carlson after he was selected number two by the Anaheim Ducks. So let's go to that interview.
What did it feel like to hear your name announced number two in the NHL draft?
It was amazing. I mean, I didn't really know how to feel, to be honest with you. Just so many emotions and a beautiful time with my family there.
Who was with you as far as your family's concerned, and you know, who'd you hug first?
Yeah, my dad first, kind of obvious choice, I think. To be honest with you, yeah, helped me a lot. And then I have my mom and my two brothers and girlfriend and my two agents. So yeah, it was a great time there.
Did you have an inkling that Anaheim would be the pick for you? Because a lot of people thought it could be you, could be Adam Fantilli, maybe Michkov.
Yeah.
Did you have a good feeling when you walked in here tonight that Anaheim was going to be your team?
I mean, it was kind of mixed feelings, to be honest. I have no idea. I thought it could be all from 2 to 7. So it was kind of hard feeling. I mean, I didn't want to think too high as well, because I mean, you can't really get this point here as well. So, I mean, it was I had a good feeling for sure. I had a meeting with them yesterday, and I had a good feeling for sure.
Did you cross paths with Adam Fantilli going on stage or during, you know, the interview process here?
Yeah, I mean, when I got drafted, he come give me a handshake and hug, and then after here we have met like 4 times. So.
And what does that mean to get that appreciation from him?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, he's an awesome guy. Known him now for, I mean, 3 weeks maybe, so it was kind of early relationship, but it was, he's a great guy for sure.
So what's next for you? Are you going to go straight to Anaheim for development camp, and then what are your plans for next season? I think you said you've got one more year left on your contract in Sweden?
Yeah, I mean, I have to until 2026 with my Örebro team, but I can't leave to America if I want to, so... I'm going to dev camp now when it starts, hopefully Monday. I know, but then we'll see. We haven't really made a decision yet. If it's gonna be SHL, AHL, or SHL, NHL. So we will see.
Well, Leo, thank you so much. Congratulations. Welcome to Anaheim.
Thank you so much.
So Leo goes two, and then Adam Fantilli. Adam, right? He goes number three to Columbus, and it was almost as though we had that feeling as, you know, we're watching this unfold in the timer that. The seconds tick down for Columbus. It's almost like, well, this is a great opportunity to get that centerman that they wanted, that Jarmo was yearning for, that he was discussing, that he was talking about prior to this draft. We want that big centerman. And right there, kind of falls into their lap.
Well, yeah, you're right. Jarmo Kekalainen said publicly, we're going to come out of this draft with a top line number one center. I don't know if he envisioned at the time whether it would be Leo Carlson or whether it would be Adam Fantilli, but I'm sure he was ecstatic to grab him, to take him. You know, they have not had a number one center. They've never been able to draft and develop that guy. They thought maybe it could be Ryan Johansson. It turned out not to. They thought maybe it could be Pierre-Luc Dubois. It turned out not to. But Adam Fantilli looks like a guy who is happy to be in Columbus. He mentioned it. You know, it's close to home in the Toronto suburbs where he grew up. It's not far from where he's playing right now in college in Michigan. So, you know, it's a win for them.
Absolutely. Top three picks, Bedard, Carlson, Fantilli, can't go wrong. And Fantilli, he was very grateful to be going to Columbus, as you said. And, you know, he was very, when I spoke to him about, you know, maybe dropping that one spot where the projections had him going at number two, you know, he's very honorable about it. He said, look, he goes, Leo Carlson's a fantastic hockey player. And we all knew coming into this draft that it could be anyone in those spots. And he says, hey, this is what Anaheim wanted, and I'm happy to be going to Columbus.
Well, let's hear from Adam Fantilli. He sat down with us right after he was selected by the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Selected number three by the Columbus Blue Jackets. What's the feeling? And who's here with you that you're able to enjoy the moment with?
The feeling is surreal. I mean, I've been waiting to get to this point for a long time, and I'm so happy it's finally come. And in terms of the people that I have here with me, everybody. Everybody that means anything to me is here right now. And the only person that couldn't be here is my grandmother, who was at home. She just got diagnosed with cancer, so she couldn't make the flight. But I'm thinking about her right now.
You mentioned yesterday that Columbus would be a pretty cool spot for you, close to home. Although you are a Michigan guy, what's it mean to go to Ohio now?
Yeah, it's awesome. Obviously, it's decently close to home, and there's a lot of past Michigan guys that are there right now. So being able to go there and play with those guys eventually is going to be really, really cool.
Have you spoken to the management team about possibly what's going to happen next year yet, Adam, as far as maybe going back or what their plans are?
No, I haven't spoken with anybody in those terms yet, and I'm sure next week at development camp we'll start to have those types of conversations, but nothing right now.
I know a couple of guys customized their suit. They maybe put things or people that was close to them. Did you do anything of that? I know, you know, that's kind of a big fashion thing where you can put something on the liner of your jacket or your vest.
Yeah, on the inside of the liner on my jacket, I got pictures of past teams that I've been on, my friends, my family, everybody that's here with me. And on the back of my vest, I got a list of everybody that's helped me make it to where I'm at.
Did it take up your whole? I mean, you're a big guy. That's
a lot of my back.
Wow. That, what did it feel like to be able to have that opportunity to do that, to honor all those people that way?
Yeah, I'm just hoping that I could give them a shout-out and being able to give my jacket away and walk down the hallway with my vest showing. I just wanted them to know that they were walking up there with me.
Johnny Gaudreau has been in the league a long time with Columbus. And Kent Johnson, do you know Kent Johnson at all?
Yeah, I do.
In what way and how excited are you to maybe one day play with him?
Yeah, obviously he's a terrific hockey player. And from what I've gotten to know about him, he's a great guy and he's really fun to be around. So I'm really excited for that. And I've heard a lot of great things from the guys that were playing with him at Michigan the year before I got there.
Congratulations, and enjoy this and enjoy the night.
Thank you guys so much.
That was great stuff from Adam Fantilli. You know, with the vest, with all the names of the people who helped them along the way, we hear all the time from these kids, right? Like, they never get here by themselves. It's their parents. It's their grandparents. It's their aunts and uncles and siblings. All their coaches along the way, the skating coaches, everybody who helps them. And for him to make that thank you note, because that's a pretty long, it's a pretty tall guy. There's a lot of names to get on there, and he made sure to get every single one of them on there. It was pretty impressive.
It was impressive, and he had, you know, photos inside the jacket, which was fantastic as well. The names, it was really special. And, you know, you look at most of the players had something like that too, right,
yeah,
Adam?
A lot of the players did something similar. It's neat that they do that.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, it's a credit to, you know, the families that they grow up with and what they're doing, and they're very appreciative of that. And you saw that when their names are called, the hugs, you know, the kisses with the family members, the mom, dad, sisters, or siblings. So it's all a part of everything. So
the last line on Fantilli's vest, it takes a village, right? We saw it. You mentioned everybody had groups, 15, 20, 25 people, and they made sure they hugged and kissed and shook hands with every single one of them.
Yep, and another player too, I mean, Leo Carlson, going number two, and the story of how he was able to finally get to Nashville is something, I guess, it's going to be legendary, you know, years from now when you think about the draft and you think about the players who went and Leo going number two, but flight gets canceled. He was in Newark, at Newark Airport, flight gets canceled, and so what does he do? The family decides to rent a minivan, and they pack it in 13 hours, Adam. 13, you know, hey, that's a lot of coffee. You need a lot of coffee to drive 13 hours, and they did it Nashville.
You flew out of Newark. You could have carpooled with them. How about you? And
wow.
I know you could have brought the coffee.
Yes.
I know you would have brought the coffee
with
you.
I would have. Yeah, it would have been great. It would have been great. But look, a credit to Leo, the family, and what they were able to do there to get here. And obviously, he was in great spirits. I mean, you saw after he was picked.
He was ecstatic.
He was a little bit surprised.
Maybe, yeah.
But you know, he was. He was ecstatic about going to Anaheim, being the number two pick, and a credit to him and the family and what they were able to do.
And getting to live in Southern California at some point certainly doesn't make it, you know, certainly doesn't diminish anything there. So let's look at the board. Let's look at what happened today. So we talked about 1 and 2 and 3 and how we sort of expected it to go. Maybe not in the order we predicted, but it went the way we expected it to go. But let's talk about surprises. And was the first one at number 6 for you?
It was. It was number 6. You know, I guess there was some questions as to what Montreal was going to do, right, Adam?
Right.
Was Montreal going to be that team that takes the Russian Matvei Michkov? We were all considering it. You had it in your mock draft.
I did. I believe they
a
would.
A legitimate spot, because I think we all kind of thought that from 5 to 8, maybe Michkov might go in that order. But they take David Reinbacher, who, by the way, I had my mock draft going to Montreal.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Sure.
I get we'll a run coffee. Those numbers. I win a coffee for that one.
Okay.
So, 6, Dmitry Simashev, the defenseman, Adam. Can you? Wow. Arizona. Now, they have 2 picks, right?
Right.
We knew that this something could be going on there at number 6 since they had the number 12 pick, but they take the big Russian defenseman at number 6.
No, we both had him going in the first round. We both thought he would be a first-round player. He is a first-round talent. I don't know if anybody predicted him to go at number 6. I think, you know, good player. It was surprising to see hear his name come off the board this early. But look, they're obviously looking for a profile, right? You look at what they did at 6, and you look at what they did at 12 with Daniel Butt.
Yes.
Number 1, obviously, they're both Russian, so obviously they must feel very confident they'll be able to get these players over here. But you look at the size. You look at, you know, Simashev, 6'4" and close to 200 pounds. Look what they did last year with Maverick Lamoureux, one of their 3 first-round picks, a defenseman, 6'6" and 196 pounds. So obviously they're looking for size. Daniel Butt, you know, another 6'5", 200-pound forward. So obviously, you know, Bill Armstrong and the Coyote scouting staff, they certainly have a type in mind of how they want to build their team. Big, skilled, strong.
Yes. You know, Boot and Simashev are 2 real quality players. It's hard to argue with it. But then you look at the Flyers. I mean, Daniel Briere, you know, his eyes are like flickering, I would imagine, when he sees Matvei Michkov there for him. And we've discussed this, Adam, and you know, since you cover the Flyers, you know, the fact that they can be patient. The Flyers aren't going to win the Stanley Cup next season or maybe the year after, but maybe they can be a playoff contender. But in the meantime, have Matvei Michkov, who we all say, and we've heard it from the scouts, can be compared in some ways and what he's done over in Russia to Connor Bedard.
From a raw skill standpoint, I think we've said it all along, he is as close to Connor Bedard as any other player in this year's draft class, but it's all the extenuating circumstances that go on with him. You know, the contract, you know, how much does he want to come to the NHL? And we talked to him after he got selected, and I asked him, I said, how long until you want to come to the NHL? How long do you want to come to Philadelphia? And he's like, I want to come, and he's like, I have a contract. I'm going to see that contract through. But as soon as it ends, it felt to me like he is a guy who wants to come to Philadelphia. He said the Flyers was the team he was hoping would draft him because he understands the history. The Flyers have a scout in Russia who has scouted him extensively, Ken Yudikov. So, you know, they know a lot about about Michkov. They know what kind of player he is. They obviously have done their homework to understand what kind of a person he is. And I think some of it comes into the equation that Brent Flair, the Flyers' amateur scouting director, was in the same role with Minnesota when they drafted Kirill Kaprizov, knowing that there would be some time, they would need to have patience, and I'm sure that entered into the equation when they were filling out their draft board. And if Michkov was available for them, you look at the skill. As you said, they are in the perfect spot to wait 3 years because they're not going to be a competitive team next year, the year after. But you could see sort of the prospects that they've assembled. They're going to be, in 3 years from now, they're going to be ready to start making that push for a playoff spot, and then you're going to drop Michkov into it with the skill that he brings, 3 years older, 3 years more development, 3 years more experience playing against men, fully developed.
He's going to be their star. He's going to be their star.
That's what they're hoping.
And Oliver Bonk, I love that pick by the Flyers too at number 22. You come back with a defenseman. They got that pick in that trade. So they get Oliver Bonk, a strong defenseman. I liked him there. That's where I had him going in my mock. So that's 2 cups of coffee.
Sure.
We can go on and on about this, Adam. I just ruled the roots in this mock draft.
Right. We'll have to
anyway,
run those
Oliver
numbers
Bonk.
Later, but yeah, go
and here,
on.
And here's another one for you. How about the NTTP, right? Another great first round for the NTTP. For the 5th straight year, the NTTP has a player in their top 5 that goes in the NHL draft. And this year, of course, it was William Smith, went to San Jose. But overall, we had 4 development players going, including that top line, which is was exceptional this year.
Yeah, you know, they're all going to go to Boston College, but it's going to be nice to see, you know, you go Gabriel Perreault going at 23 to the Rangers, Ryan Leonard, the little nice little rivalry coming up. Yeah. He goes at number 8 to the Washington Capitals. Oliver Moore, you know, he goes to Chicago at number 19. And how about that? Connor Bedard and Oliver Moore is your top two centers. You know, let's talk about that 3 years from now and see if Chicago, where Chicago is in the standings with those guys. I think Perreault, really good pick by the Rangers. You know, the head for the game, he may not be the swiftest skater, but the vision and the anticipation and the hockey sense makes him look quicker. And look, they were stacked on the left side at the NHL level, Kreider, Panarin, Lafreniere, Brennan Othman, their top prospect, is a left wing. They needed something on the other side. Obviously, you know, Perreault's 2-3 years away minimum, but at least they're starting to identify other areas of need that they need to build up.
Absolutely. And just getting back to Oliver Moore for a minute, great pick by Chicago. Now, Moore, and we've discussed this, might be the best skater of this draft class. But besides that, Kyle Davidson said, you know, that he expected Moore to be drafted earlier here, and they were maybe looking to trade up at him with another club. And then they weren't getting maybe what they were looking for or something that didn't really favor them. So they just stuck with 19, and there was Oliver Moore for them. So great two picks for the Chicago Blackhawks. And we were talking about this earlier. You know, when you get Bedard, you get Moore, you get these players that are going to, you know, have them develop. Bedard's going to be playing. Moore is going to he'll be going to the University of Minnesota. So, yeah, a great start for the Blackhawks.
I like what Nashville did, right? Matthew Wood and Tanner Molendijk, you know, you get two high-ceiling, high-upside guys. You know, Wood at the University of Connecticut as a freshman. He was the youngest player in NCAA Division I hockey this year, correct?
Yes.
And he led them in scoring, was a real dominant force for them, and he's only going to get bigger and stronger and better. And Tanner Molendijk, one of the better skating defensemen, a great offensive mind for the game, you know, and he doesn't really miss a lot on the defensive side. He's a guy who is going to be able to be a power play guy, maybe even a penalty kill guy for the Predators. They were looking to add skill into their system, and I think they certainly hit two pretty good players with Wood and Molendijk. You know, Barry Trotz said, I want my guys to take some swings, take some big swings, and Matthew Wood and Tanner Molendijk were big swings, but I think they got a chance to connect on some pretty big hitters.
In the 2022 draft, there were three Slovakian born players chosen in the first round. That was a record. And this year, the Slovaks just continue. Every year, we're seeing more and more of them. We had two Slovaks taken in the first round, Dalibor Dvorsky to St. Louis, Adam, their first of three picks for the Blues in the first round. And then Samuel Honzak, great pick for the Calgary Flames. And our friend Todd Button, the director there, 6'3", 195. Seems like, you know, the skate cut issue is
gone
for Honzak, and so he'll grow, develop. I'm sure he'll go to Vancouver in the Western Hockey League. So, you know, another great for Slovak hockey and what they've been able to prove this year.
And if we're talking about mock drafts like we were before, I did say Dvorsky at 10 to St. Louis and Honzak at 16 to Calgary. So
congratulations.
I think we're even up on those cups of coffee. But here's what, as whatever surprises we might have had with the picks, here's the biggest surprise of the night, maybe. No trades. All we talked about was all these huge moves will get made, you know, on the floor, and everybody showed up and made the picks that they were going to make.
Yeah, it's unusual that it happens that way. But as writers and media people, I mean, the first round just flew. It just flew.
Right.
So it was good.
Well, it just shows that every time we think we know what's going to happen, we never really know what's going to happen.
We don't.
What we do know, though, there will be a round 2-7 coming up here. More players are going to go. The teams are going to continue to fill out their prospect profiles and stockpile for the future. We're going to go enjoy the Nashville evening. We're going to go enjoy Broadway. But while we're doing that, you should check out NHL Backstory, a podcast hosted by Arda Ocal that relives some of the most unique moments in NHL history. Episode 1 is available now and explains how Disney's Mighty Ducks movie franchise inspired an NHL franchise. Available now on NHL.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Mike, we're going to do it all again for rounds 2-7. Are you excited?
I can't wait, Adam. It's going to be good. But right now, we got to hit Broadway. We got to go. That's it. I'm done for day one.
As he said, I will say this, NHL draft class is dismissed.